Amen. I'd like to say it's truly a joy to be here this morning. I was thinking a little bit ago, we come to church for under different circumstances at times, and thinking about the funeral service, and I believe that was a wonderful homegoing celebration for Sister Linda, and appreciate all those who took part and what have you. It's an honor to stand with Brother Tim and Brother Derek, and also the beautiful sing that we had, and yeah, Sister Marina, she told me, she said, he's going to find out, he's going to know. The first time that I saw her in church a few weeks ago, I was like, I know her. And I told Brandy later, found out who she was, and then found out that she can play a guitar and she can sing too. I said, I'll be remembering that. So so let's keep that in our minds too. But it's wonderful to be here. I say that, and it's also, I know we come to church under different circumstances at times, and but you know, it's just a joy to come together and worship the Lord together during a time like this. I'm just really thankful for how the Lord's moving and what he's doing, and seeing these young people saved. And I tell you, he saves older people too. You know, I'm not so disillusioned to think that there's not older people that need salvation. So when we pray for the lost, it's not just little ones. It's all of them. It's all of them. So there's much to be in prayer about. And also, let's remember that next week is communion. Next week is our communion service, so that's coming up there too. Much to be in prayer about those that are sick. And so remember Brother Jim, and went by to check on him on Wednesday, and he's sleeping really hard, and I didn't want to wake him up. But let's remember him in our prayers. Sister Glenda, as she travels back and forth, and that family, it's a lot of traveling to go back and forth. And speaking of a lot of traveling, Brother Robert, let's remember him in our prayers with his upcoming treatments as well. He's got more to come up. And I just had a really good time of talking with you this morning, brother. I really enjoyed that. It's kind of like a mini Sunday school. And we're talking about being thankful that we have a desire to be in the Lord's house. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful I have that. I think that's a good mark of salvation when we want to be around the Lord, be around his word, be around his people. That's a good desire to have. And with that being said, let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Wednesday night, we were in the book of Joshua talking about service, talking about, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And this will go right along with that. If you look at the book of Joshua in the Old Testament and what it signifies about having Christian life, the Christian walk with God is, you see a practical there in the book of Joshua. Well, now you kind of see the spiritual side of that here in the book of Ephesians. I didn't pre-plan this or anything, but when I started studying, the Lord just kind of placed me right here. And I'm always standing in amazement at how he lines things up. Never at my disability to bring it out, but how he lines it up and how he puts everything together. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And I hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. I want it to be a help to us. I think a lot about service and how the Lord dealt with me about surrendering to preach, and how he's dealing with people, how he deals with each and every one of us. Because I promise you, everybody has a calling. Everybody has a service that the Lord wants you to do. Every single one of us. I'm always learning things, and I thank God for that. I do consider myself a lifelong student, and I like that. I remember when I graduated high school, one of my prayers was, Lord, help me to always continue to learn. If I go to college or not, I want to continue to learn. And I thank God that he turned me toward his book to learn out of this book. I'm telling you, there's a lot in there. And we'll never learn it all, but it'll help us to grow. And when you look at service, I think a lot of times it sounds good, but the actual act of it sometimes is not what we thought it would be. Maybe sometimes we feel like it's a thankless service or a thankless thing at times, and maybe it can be. But as I have grown up and I've seen the work in the church go on and how it goes on, it doesn't just happen. As a child growing up in church, you just kind of take things as it comes, and that's just how it is. The singers sing, the preacher preaches, the teachers teach, and it just works that way. But as you grow up and you see what it takes behind the scenes, there's a lot more to it than just that. It takes a willing heart, a heart of service. And again, just to kind of go further on from where we were on Wednesday night, the heart of a servant or the mindset of a servant takes time. You have to have a certain mindset. I'll say it like this. I know at work we have busier times than others in this last week, this week, going into this summer. This is our busy time. And one of the things that we've talked about in preparation for work is getting our mind right. Fellas, we're going to have to get our mind right. That's what we talked about. We know it's coming. We know this is our busy time. And we got tons of things to do, and we got 2 weeks to do it in. You say, why 2 weeks? Well, the way it's set up, from the time graduation takes place, the clock starts ticking till we can get everything done and knocked out before summer school starts and camp starts. So you have to get in while they're out. So that's why there's such a tight deadline, and everything is volume. There's just so much of it. Everybody's got to have your mind right. You got to have your head in the game, so to speak. Well, I say that too. Bible school's coming up. That's a busy week. It's important that we have our minds and our hearts right, not just for that, but for everything that we do. I've said it like this before, if we're not careful, we can compartmentalize things and say, this is my work life, my school life, my church life, but in the life of a Christian, it's just life. There's no clocking in and clocking out at either one of those, or your life, as far as it is, as with Christ, you never clock out of that. Once you're saved, thank God, you never clock out. It's set up that way. And what we're talking about today is the spirit of our mind. Having our minds right. Knowing that what you're supposed to do, it does serve a purpose, but the meaning behind it, the why sometimes is important. If we only did things looking for a reward and kind of walking around like this, then we're more interested in what we're going to receive versus what we're actually giving. And see, that's kind of different than what a servant is or what service is. A servant is one who is at the employment of another. If you and I truly believe that God calls us to do things, then we're at His service. And all we got to do is do what He tells us to do. I was trying to think of a good illustration, trying to bring this out. And this is amazingly how, I guess, how the Lord just gave it to me. I reflect on life sometimes. Spend a lot of time thinking. And I was thinking about what would be a good analogy for this. You know, it's not that we do things blindly. People talk about blind faith. The Word of God tells us what we can expect, or it tells us things. It's very truthful with us. I remember a time when I was just a kid, one of my earliest memories, riding the school bus. And there's an older kid, I can't remember, I don't know, I was probably first, second grade, something like that. I was real young. This guy's middle school. I can't remember, something like that. And he had a watch. And I really liked his watch. Brother Allen, it was cool. It was all digital and everything. It was nothing like you have today, but in that point in time, it was cool. And I wanted that watch. And, you know, I saw that and I wanted it and what have you. And the reward was to get the watch. And so what he said we could do, we worked out a plan. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll sell it to you. I was like, well, I don't really have any money. I'm just a kid. I didn't have a job. You know, you don't have a job when you're first, second grade. I didn't have any money, but you know, what mom and dad gave me every day, they gave me lunch money. And that's all I had. And I said, well, I've got this. And he said, well, you just give me that every day and you can have this watch. I never got the watch, but that's another story. But so I started giving him the money. And when I went to the lunchtime, they'd say, you know, pay for your lunch. I don't have any money. And I wouldn't say, I'm buying this watch. I got a watch on layaway. I wasn't that smart, okay? But word got back to mom and dad that I was telling them that mom and dad wasn't giving me any lunch money. Didn't take long. Mr. Childers got involved and sorted this thing out. And they found out that I was on a layaway playing for a watch that I couldn't afford. I don't even remember what the end price was going to be. But see, that's just a childlike mind seeing something they want and trying to get it. This is the only means I have. I want to use that as an illustration to you that is not how Jesus works with you and me. Now, He loves our childlike faith. You see, that's not a bad thing, but you got to be careful where you put that childlike faith. You see, when God tells us something in His Word and we study it out,
He does things with a contingency, saying if you want these things, you can have these things. And I'm talking about spiritual things. He takes care of us in all ways, but I'm talking about spiritual things. So if you really want to be and have the mind of a servant, you can have it, but you have to do it. You have to commit to it. You have to be willing to do that. And I tell you this morning, as the choir was singing, I was thinking about it. You know, the one way that God knows, that the Lord knows that you and I are being serious about this thing is when you actually start trying to be like Him. Not hold on to our ways and things. We're talking about self-will in Sunday school and the inception of Satan, Lucifer, where he came from and how he wanted things his way and how we have the mind to choose ourselves, but God wants us to give our will to Him. And the one way that we really show that is when we start trying to emulate Him, the walk that Jesus Christ had on this earth. And that's kind of what I want to preach on this morning, the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind, and maybe a little bit more detailed, the mind of a servant. What that mindset is like. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, not going to try to go through all those in great detail, of course, it's a lot. But we see two different sides here. We see how this comes together and how the Lord, when He promises us something that He will follow through on the other side, He will take care of those results for us. But He wants us to do our part. I'll read these first few verses here and we'll pray and we'll get started. Verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." But ye have not so learned Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, on just such a beautiful day, God. We just thank you for that and thank you for allowing us to be here. And God, I just pray that you be with each heart this morning. God, you know what everyone is going through. God, you know that those that are seeking more, wanting to have maybe a deeper relationship with you, God, and that should always be our goal. No matter what stage of life that we're in, we should always be seeking God, striving to be closer to you, learning more about you, emulating you more, being more like you every day, God, in our walk. And that's the change. That's the change that the world needs to see. That's the change that changes our life, God, that allows us to see, God, more about you, experiencing things the way you would have us to, God, to unlock those things, Lord, that you want unlocked to us and open those doors, God, that you want open to us. God, I pray you be with us today and ask that you guide me, guide my mouth and my mind, God, and just help me to speak plainly and clearly, Lord. Just want to bring out the context, God, of your word, that people can be helped, that people can learn, people can grow, God. I want to grow more and more and more in your word every day, God, and I pray that you help us. Be with us today. Be with those that are searching. Be with those that are lost, God. I pray for conviction upon their lives, their hearts. God, I pray for those who are sick and not able to be here, and those who are healing, and God, those who are in the hospital facing things. God, I just pray that you be with them and help them. Those with treatments, God, I pray that you be with them in their travels and the treatments, God, that you just help them to heal, God, and be with them. Be with us all, God. Keep a hedge around our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Paul, he talks pretty sharp here. To folks, he's pretty outspoken, he's pretty straightforward about things, and he's talking about the Gentile walk, and he's talking to a new believer. I think this is good for us to see here, because there's a change that takes place in the life of a person, in the heart of a person who's accepted Christ, and you don't walk the way that you used to walk. When I read this, the way that it's written, it tells me that maybe this was younger people, or younger Christians, let's put it that way, younger Christians, and as the way it's describing here is Gentiles, new believers, and maybe they weren't making a clean break from the life they had before into the new life that they were supposed to have. I want you to know this morning, saved people sin, saved people mess up, saved people still have a choice to live for the Lord or not.
I think what you'll find is different is that there's chastisement that comes along in the heart of in the life of a saved person. It might not come along in the heart or life of a lost person, because if you're his, he's going to chastise you. But just because a person accepts Christ doesn't automatically mean that they have everything, that they're going to be perfect and everything's just laid out in front of them and life is going to be easy. You still have a mindset that you're supposed to have. I know this. Sometimes in the morning, getting up and going to work, and if the body don't feel like it, it's hard to get the mind to go along with it. When I was younger, let me say it like that. Some of you are going to laugh at me. When I was younger, I could just get up and do things and go on, not think anything about it. Last week, I found myself taking a little bit more ibuprofen than the week before, because we're just doing a whole lot more. Mind was willing, but the body was a little hesitant. I think it's kind of how it was. Still a little stiff, walk a little slower in the morning sometimes. And the thing about it is, I think sometimes when you have the life of a new believer, it can kind of be like that. Habits are hard to break sometimes. And what Paul is saying here, you don't walk like that anymore. You're a new person in Christ. You don't walk that way. You have a different spirit driving your mind. There's a different walk that you have. And he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that take place in our minds. There's books written. You can read things on how a Christian is supposed to act. It's kind of like a recipe book, I guess. There's a lot of self-help books and things. And if you've never done whatever this is before, you can do it. DIY, do it yourself. That's a big thing now. That's a big thing. Has been for many years. I love watching the shows, and it's like instead of paying somebody to do this for you, you take it upon yourself to do it. So you watch a YouTube video. Brother Tanner, you learn how to do it. It's kind of neat. It's like, man, I did this myself. This is great. You learn how to do something. Well, the thing about it is, if we're not careful in churches or in the Christian walk, you'll get locked up in thinking you can do it yourself. You can't do the Christian walk yourself. You can't. I want you to know that. We can be good. A lost person can take that instruction book and read it. It says, okay, it says I'm supposed to do these things, and if I do these things, then I'm saved. That's not how it works. You got to get saved first. You got to get saved first. Then the works can come, and that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're not trying to deceive anybody or pretend to be something that we're not, but you have to have it on the inside first, or any of these works, they just don't matter. It doesn't count. But Paul's saying here, these are people, I believe he's talking directly to saved people. He's saying, now, listen, now that you have the work on the inside, you need a little work on the outside. There's things that you've got to maintain and do. If you truly want to have the heart of a servant, if you truly want to have your mind renewed, there's some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to want this. You have to have a different walk. He's saying, don't walk like the other Gentiles. That doesn't make us sound too good, does it? You don't want to walk like those other Gentiles. If you're saved, you're set apart from that way of life. Gentiles didn't have a good walk by nature. Nobody does by nature. He's making a contrast here, talking about the Jewish people who had the Word of God and the oracles of God, and they had the Word of God. And see, you and I as Gentiles, we didn't have anything to claim. That's why Jesus should be that much more sweeter to us, is because he came to save us too. We were not excluded. We were grafted into the family of God, and I'm thankful for that. But it says here, walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. And that's vanity means emptiness. It could also mean pride, different things, empty pride or want of substance and what have you to satisfy desire. But it's like all those good intentions. I mentioned that on Wednesday night. People love to make lists. Check off list. I'm going to do all these things today for me to be where I need to be tonight or this week. All this busy stuff we got to get done. I need to check off all these lists. And we make all these good intentions. And we make this list. That list feels good. You say, gosh, sometimes it's hard because it makes me feel overwhelmed. But when you make that list and you start checking things off, that's when it feels good. Like I've accomplished these things. The problem is within our minds, a lot of times we make that list with the perception that we're going to check them off, and we never check those things off. I want us to think about the importance of Bible school, everything that we do, but Bible school,
of the importance of studying, being prepared, and being ready to do those things, not just in the mind, but in our heart, and that we're actually going to follow through and do it. Good intentions are only that. Good intentions, that's all that is. That's not meaning that you're following through and doing the things that God would have us to do. The vanity of their minds, the emptiness of their minds, thinking about it, it's all up here. I thought about this too in study. You know how many battles I have fought and I have won in my mind? And how many I fought and lost in my mind that never even happened? Worry, anxiety, anxiousness, carrying that around and trying to play it out in my mind, and it didn't even happen like that at all. And maybe winning some things and having some things laid out and spending all that time, and it didn't even happen at all. The biggest part of the battle, I think, sometimes is just up here. But if you get your mindset right, it will change everything about you. And I'm not giving you an empty mouth this morning. I'm telling you the truth. If we do things based off of when it seems like we're succeeding or failing, then that's the way our conduct will be. It will rise and fall. But if you do things based off the fact that you're a servant of God, you'll stay like this. Because you trust Him. Because you trust this process, what He has for us. You see, I tell you this, life is going to have lots of ups and downs, a lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of heartaches, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of things like that. But you got to keep your eyes on Christ and what He wants. Because if you're the true, if you have a heart and a mind of a servant, you'll stay right there with Him. Lord, I trust You. Lord, I trust You. I know this is hard right now, but I trust You. Lord, I know this is good right now. Praise God, and I still trust You. That's what He's saying here. He's saying, don't walk like these other Gentiles. He's saying, stay focused. Because look what happens. If we don't have our mindset right, then we're not doing what He'd have us to do. Verse number 18, it says, having the misunderstanding, or having the understanding darkened. That means their understanding, their mind, their knowledge darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see how things are taking steps down. That's how our minds work. That's how we are. When we don't see things, if we try something and we see it giving us the results we want, we immediately kind of gravitate to that. But then if we are doing something and then it's not going the way we want it to, you see, we will start going away from it. I think that's an illusion that people have, that the Christian life is easy. It's not. It's not. Any life isn't easy, but I promise you, the Christian life is better. The best is yet to come. We're still going to face things in life like other people face. We're not immune to things. But we have a God to follow, and we have a God to trust that's going to lead us. Because He says right here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. We can hold ourselves back from the life God wants us to have with Him. Would anybody want that this morning? If God could lay out in front of you and say, this is the life that I want for you. This is what I want for you. Would you want to walk away from that and say, I just don't want that? Or would you really want to see what He had to say? Would you really want to follow Him and see what He wants for you in your life? If that's the way that you could truly be happy. I think a lot of times we think, if I could have this, I'd be happy. If I could get this, I could be happy. If I had this job, I would be happy. If I lived here, this, happy. Let me tell you this, the only way that a Christian can really be happy is to be in the will of God with the life that He wants for you. If you want to seek after something, seek after that. Not what the world tells you that you need, but seek after what God tells you that you need, because that's where your true happiness is going to come from. You see the spirit of the heart that He has here for us this morning, but alienated from the life of God, the God that He has chosen for, or the life that He has chosen for us. The ignorance that is in them because the blindness of their heart. You start losing control when you get in that state of mind. When your heart is blind and you just start seeking. You know, if a person, I've seen it like this before, people will try the Christian life. They'll try it a little bit and then they'll say, well, that didn't work. And they'll revert back to old things. Remember the disciples last week, what they did? When Jesus was there with them and they felt His presence and it was strong, they were walking with Him, they were doing what He wanted them to do. When Jesus was not present with them, what did they do? They went back fishing. They went back doing what they used to do. And Paul is saying here, you don't go back as a Christian doing what you used to do. You don't go back like the Gentiles doing what you used to do. You have a new mind. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit that is inside you. And it says here, verse 19, you see what happens. This lifestyle, you can find yourself locked in this. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Being past feeling, that means calloused. That's a bad place to be. When a person gets to the point that they feel like nothing in their life is turning out the way they wanted it to, you know, you kind of start looking inward versus outward. You start thinking, well, I'm not happy. This isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. Why are these things not working out the way I warned them to? You see, there's a lot of I's that said there. That's not the heart of a servant. The heart of a servant says, what do you need? What's your need? What are you lacking? What do you need? You see, the heart of a servant is always looking out regardless of their inward circumstance. Think about Jesus. If we're supposed to emulate him, was he concerned about himself? Everything that he said was giving honor and glory to his Father, but it was always to help the other person. Always. Best example of a servant you'll ever find right there in the Word of God was Jesus himself. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew these things that he was going to face and what he had to deal with. But guess what? He always, Brother Tony, thought about you first. He's always you first. You see, that's the difference in a heart of a servant versus a heart of somebody that's kind of inward looking. You see this right here? This is what happens. They're like, I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy. Their minds are darkened. Their hearts are alienated from God, the life that God has for them. And everything's going down and they turn over to lasciviousness. They turn over to trying to make themselves happy. I want to be happy. I'm not happy with my circumstances, so how can I make myself happy? A lot of times I think people turn to shopping, turn to buying. You know, if I just had that, I'd be happy. If I had that new vehicle, that'd make me happy. If I had that new thing, that'd make me happy. Let me tell you, I'll save you some time and I'll save you some money. Until you get in the will of God, that will never make you happy. I promise you that. Friends, it'll make you broke. It'll make you a slave to the world. It'll make you chasing after things that you think will make you happy that's not going to. It's amazing when a saved person will truly surrender their mind. They've already surrendered their heart if they're saved. If they will surrender their mind to God, what he can do with that and change your perception of the world. When you start looking at helping other people and start looking at other people versus inwardly, you work outwardly, it'll change everything that you do and the reason why you do it. You'll find fulfillment that you never had. I tell you, it's amazing when you see these things come together like this. Again, verse 19, who being past feeling, they become callous, they've not being able to feel about or concerned about other people's wellness and what they need, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And Paul says right here, verse number 20, what a pivotal verse. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. There's a lot of Christians that hadn't even learned Christ yet. Many, many. I tell you, I'd hate to see anybody fall on that side and wouldn't want anybody to be on that side, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of people fall on that side of the fence. I think a lot of saved people fall on that side of the fence because you don't see a lot of times a lot of people happy about service. You go through at Chick-fil-A, what do they say? What do they say when you go through? Every single one of them, they're trained to say it. My pleasure. You see, I think that's how God wants us to be when we approach people with somebody with a need. It's my pleasure to help you. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus is there for you? In your time of need, when you're down and you're out and Jesus comes along and he helps you, aren't you thankful that he thinks about you first? Now, God gives us that ability as Christians to be that very type of influence on somebody else's life. And when other people maybe see you going through something hard, but you still yet have a mindset to put them first, you know what a blessing that is to them? That's huge. I know that's how I feel. If somebody, I know they're going through something, but they take the time to talk to me, that means a lot to me, because that tells me, one, they care, and two, God put me on their heart. That's a powerful thing. That's love. That's the Lord working in your life. But you see here what he's saying, those who are carrying on that way, that are caught in that trap, they have not yet so learned Christ. But you look at verses 21 through 32, and I'm hurrying along. I'm going to close out pretty quick. I'm not going through these just extensively. But you look at the opposite side of it. You look at the spirit of your mind. You look at the mind of a servant. Verse 21, it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." See, that's the truth. That's what we're all seeking, right? If you're going to base all your livelihood, all your decisions, your marriage, your home, the big purchases that you make, your soul, your eternal soul on something, don't you want to know the truth? See, that's where I come from. I mean, that's what I want to know. I want to know the truth so I can make the very best decisions. And that's what we have here. We have somebody that can follow through with those promises. It's not the watch on layaway that I don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you this, the beautiful thing, one of the beautiful things that I have experienced in my life personally throughout following Christ is not only did it work out well for me, it worked out better than what I thought it was going to. He's amazing at doing those things. Sometimes we face maybe financial things or what have you, and you think about all these things. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? What if the Lord removes that? Sometimes it's not the fact that he's like, okay, here's the monetary support that's going to take care of that. But guess what? I'll just remove that problem. You see, he has the power to do that. That's an amazing thing about our God. He works in ways that we can't see and we can't understand, but we know it's him. And he wants us to trust him, and he wants us to follow him. He wants us to have the right spirit of our mind. And the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You don't walk that way. We don't do it the same old way. There's a new way. There's a better way. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I like being renewed. I like that. You think sometimes the same old, you get caught in that trap. It just seems like it's just kind of mundane, just over and over. But I am so thankful that the Lord, when he comes around and he gives you that new reset on your life, it's a renewing, it's a refreshing. And I tell you, I thank God when he does that. He does it in a way that you know it's him. But it's in your mind. I talk a lot about the mind. That's how we win and lose a lot of times. Battles we hadn't fought, things we hadn't even went through, but we've kind of defeated ourselves in our own mind. But the Lord is saying, get outside of that. Trust me. Let me do things for you. Just follow me and trust me. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true and holiness. He's saying a new way to walk. New young saved people, really pay attention to this. You lay off the old man and you got a new man, a new walk, a new way to live. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He's like, you affect me. I affect you. I tell you, true words, and it's the word of God, Brother Finley, true words have not been spoken. What people think of me and my reputation or my actions, my testimony out here, that's what they think of you. Did you know that? And vice versa. That's how it is. Because I get calls, I get texts, I get messages from time to time, and I tell you, it's like people ask for things. They come to the preacher and they ask me for things. They want things. They need things. And they come to me thinking I have the power to give it to them. That's the reputation. You know, there's a little bit more to it than just that. But see, that's the mindset. That's a big responsibility. The things that I do, people, it reflects you, and vice versa. What you do reflects me. Now, think about that when you go out. Is that the reputation that you want to have? Think about it. It's a lot to take in. We are members one of another. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. That's what Paul is teaching here. Our testimony and the importance of guarding that. Verse number 26, be ye angry and sin not.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We're going to have offenses from time to time. Things are going to pop up. Everybody don't agree and think all just the same. But the Lord is saying, don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed without settling that thing out. I know you probably heard that verse before. Verse number 27, never give place to the devil. Don't let things sit. If there's something that needs to be fixed, fix it. Don't let it sit. If you let that sit, I promise you the devil will put his hands all in that. And guess where he's going to affect you? Let me tell you this. If you're saved, he can't affect your salvation. If you're saved, he can absolutely affect your mind. Brother so-and-so didn't talk to me today. Sister so-and-so didn't shake my hand. I bet she's upset about this. I bet brother so-and-so, he didn't like that. I bet he's upset about that. And you know what we do? We give place to the devil when that happens. That festers. Next thing you know, week, 2 weeks down the line, if you hadn't spoke or something hadn't happened, you're full-blown convinced that brother or sister's against you. You know how discouraging that is? I tell you, that's giving place to the devil that don't need place. You and I, as believers, should be close and united, is what he's teaching here. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's another strong verse. He said, if you're able to work, you're able to do good, and you have that ability and you're doing good, guess what? It's okay to help somebody. That's what he's saying right there. Give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He's saying spread good news instead of bad news. I know a lot of times with a lot of things going on and prayer requests and things, they absolutely need to be shared, but it's easy to get down. It's easy to be concerned about things and carry heavy weights. But I tell you, when you got good news to share, share it. Let your brothers and sisters know. That's edifying. That builds up the church. That shows that God's at work in your life and he's doing a work just like he promised he would. In verse number 30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. I tell you, that's something that probably gets on me more than anything. If you're trying to do things, if somebody grieves you, somebody tries to guilt you, somebody tries to shame you, boy, I tell you, that gets on my nerves. I'm just going to be honest. But he's saying here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit wants to move, when he's moving, just give him free rein. Don't be afraid of him. Trust him. Give him free rein. When he tells you to do something, if it doesn't make sense, do it anyway. He knows what he's doing. It's kind of a test for you and me to see how obedient we're going to be. I've seen the Lord do different things like this. Drive down the road and see somebody I hadn't talked to in years. Maybe somebody that I knew and hadn't really even talked to. Just stop to talk to them, not even know, Lord, I don't know what to say. But if you want me to do it, I'll do it. It's amazing what the Lord has done in situations like that. He'll use you if you want to be used. Every single one of us are supposed to be used by God and turn our will over to him. Every single one of us. I tell you, it's something powerful to take a hold of if you're willing to do it. Verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All these hard feelings or hurt feelings or anything, he's talking about forgiveness. That's the old man. That's not the new way. That's not the way God would have us to be. And I'm going to close with this verse. Look at verse number 32, how simple it is. You probably see these signs a lot, bumper stickers. I didn't know it was in the Bible, did you? I figured it would be. It's a good one, but I see bumper stickers a lot. It says, be kind. But look at verse number 32, and it says, and be ye kind one to another. How simple is that? You know, we love family members, and we love friends, and our loved ones that we like to spend time with and what have you. But I tell you, look around. This is talking about believers. You look around the church. Is there anybody else that you would rather be kind to than the people that are here? You think about the importance of having a fellowship in the church and the congregation. And you know, some things you'd feel like it could go without being said or what have you. But again, it says here, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I find a lot of power in that verse.
You know, it's easy. The devil try to get your mind to work on you, try to get you to think people are against you, and all this is going on, and how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do here? If you're not careful, that's where you'll dwell. That's what your life will be. And how discouraging that is. How discouraging. One thing I've learned in life, if I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do, responding the way that I'm supposed to respond, if I'm being faithful to His Word, guess what? I don't have to worry about the results. It may be confusing at times. It may be hurtful. It may be confounding at times. But if I know that I have a clear conscience before God, I'm following His Word and trying to prescribe it exactly the way it's written, I know He's going to take care of it. I believe that is the mindset that a servant is supposed to have, because we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have wins. We're going to have losses. Our hearts are going to be broken at times. But I tell you, we keep our eyes on God, that's what He's asking us to do. He's just saying, walk with me. The spirit of your mind. I think you'll find that is the heart and the mind of a servant this morning. But I ask you, if you will, to stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come. Always want to give an invitation. I don't know what is on people.